You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Heads up, West Michigan businesses. Women of color are more than ready, willing, and able to take on your leadership roles. That's the message on this International Women's Day from a study exploring just why women of color are so often passed over for leadership roles in Kent and Ottawa counties. Shannon Cohen and Patricia Sosa-Verdine spent a full year hearing stories, collecting data for a research project they call Invisible Walls, Ceilings, and Floors, championing the voices and inclusion of female leaders of color in West Michigan. Shannon Cohen, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me, Cindy.
Why no more West Michigan nice? What is that?
I think when it comes to equity and inclusion, sometimes we as a community of folks that are good intentioned, we stop at good intentions. So we stop at saying, well, we have value, organizational value statements that say we value equity and inclusion and that matters. This work is about how do we own intention and impact? Because sometimes even in our best intentions, we still have harmful and unhealthy workplace cultures and modalities. And so it's moving beyond intention to owning that intention and impact piece.
Okay, yeah. What was it that made you want to research this? I'm wondering what in your personal background made you interested in trying to figure out why diverse women are being passed over for leadership roles?
Well, I think in part of Pat and I often say that this work emerged out of both head and heart for both of us. Both of us are women of color. Pat is Latina. I'm African American, and we have both come of age professionally in West Michigan. And so we have navigated the waters of being the first and the only, often both in civic spaces of service and our professional lives, and wanted to create a safe space to talk about some of the nuance, the people power politic nuances of that, especially as now we both live in cities that have, for the first time, female mayors. I live in a city where our mayor has listed racial equity as part of her administration's focal point. So we're in a space, I think, as communities, we're in a space as municipalities where we're recognizing that if we're going to be an inclusionary space for all who call a community home, we have to take a deeper dive around some of these issues that may make us uncomfortable, but will add to the greater good.
Shannon, whose voices did you and Pat seek out for this study, and what kind of questions did you ask?
So we targeted women of color that were between the ages of 30 and 60. And I often get asked by millennial leaders of color, female leaders of color, why we didn't go younger. And it wasn't that we don't value the input of millennial leaders, but we felt like there was so much discourse happening about the talent attraction, retention, promotion pipeline for millennials that we wanted to focus on women that were in Generation X and Baby Boomer in that space. And so we really didn't go after women. We created we did a quantitative survey and then we did focus groups, and we wanted to draw as many women that were interested in participating in the work as possible. So we wanted to turn that whole cherry picking component that often happens with communities of color on its ear. One of the things that women have told us is that there's often just the same one or two people of color, women of color that are tapped all the time. And we wanted to show that there is a lot of talent amongst women of color in West Michigan. Talent lives here, and these women are ready and poised to serve.
And what are businesses and organizations missing out on by not having women of color at the table? I mean, what special attributes do these women bring?
Absolutely. Women, one of the things I think that was really interesting that we learned from this study was just how credentialed the women were. 86% of the women that we surveyed had bachelor's degrees and 53% had advanced degrees. So these are credentialed, educated women. I think that was one of the misnomers that we wanted to address, that there this myth that there were no, it was difficult to identify and to find qualified candidates of color that were women for mid to executive management opportunities. Something else that we learned about the women is that part of their cultural heritage and identity, that's part of their competitive advantage. The ability to lead through lean times, resilience, perseverance, all of these attributes that we associate with executive leadership, that women of color bring that almost innately because of ancestry and heritage. And so when we don't allow spaces for women to bring the fullness of their identity into the workforce, we lose out on that talent and those abilities to think non-traditionally and innovatively. one of the things that was very interesting that also women had to say is just their wisdom and their outlook and their perspective. We know that there's a business case for diversity. We know there's plenty of data that talks about that teams that are diverse in thought and in presence and in representation, their outcomes significantly outshine those of homogenous teams. And so those are some of the truths we wanted to uplift through this work.
And what challenge do you believe that this work that you and Pat have done and this and the voices you've heard and the stories you've heard, what challenge do you now lay down to businesses and organizations in West Michigan?
One of the challenges that we have, which is so ironic that was echoed more recently last week in the Harvard Business Review, is to rethink referral-based hiring. With referral-based hiring, there are pros and cons, the pros being that it allows organizations and companies to vet a candidate more deeply because they already have a connection within the company. They know someone. But one of the cons is that we know that with referral-based hiring, when you're using the existing networks of people that are already present within an organization or an entity, most folks' networks look like themselves. And so what we're doing and what's happening is that we're perpetuating workplaces that are homogenous because most people, their networks look like them. I even had a community leader say to me that she was seeing that 40%, whenever they did this referral-based hiring, that they were finding that 40% of the candidates they were recruiting were family members of existing employees. So if we're going to really be intentional about equity and inclusion, we have to pursue both universal and targeted approaches to that entire pipeline of talent attraction, retention, promotion. We have to rethink that whole pipeline and these kind of what I call these relational portals of access to job postings and opportunities for organizations in West Michigan.
So organizations can't get away anymore with saying, well, we just couldn't find any qualified candidates who are women of color.
Absolutely. The talent is here. 75% of the women that we surveyed said that their motivation for leadership comes out of wanting to serve and make a difference. These are women that are ready and poised to be difference makers, that are putting in the work, going after the education, going after opportunities. But we're finding that those relational portals, how they're not getting the same access to job posting. So we're challenging organizations. Are you using affinity groups? Do you know of the affinity groups in your community? How might they help you leverage opportunities and take them directly to untapped markets like communities of color?
Shannon Cohen, studying the intersection of race, gender, and leadership in West Michigan. Thanks for speaking with us today, Shannon.
Thank you so much for having me.